is Taz.
The mood is about to change.
The Human Podcast Machine.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
All right. What's up, guys? How you doing? I want to give you a quick, raw react to basically that go-home sell to the Fastlane pay-per-view they got coming up this Sunday. The WWE, obviously, I'm speaking of. So, they were in Orlando, which was interesting because, you got a lot of stuff going on the past couple of days in Orlando with TNA tapings and NXT doing shows throughout Florida and TVs and all that. So, if you're a wrestling fan, you're in the Orlando region, day and a half or whatever, 2 days, I mean, you had a lot of action to see, which is kind of cool. But the house is packed, I got to say, man. The building looked great. I mean, 15,000 people. You heard Michael Cole say at the top of the show, sold out. And I can tell you from experience, when you hear the announcers in WWE say it's sold out, that's the truth. They don't lie. It's a shoot. When you don't hear them say it's sold out, it's not sold out. That's basically the way that goes. I mean, you're told when it's a sellout, and it's true. So, it was packed. You could tell it was packed to the rafters, which is nice. It's great for the business to see that. Not just the WWE's business, but the wrestling business as a whole. Look, it's obvious WWE is the leader of the pack, for many years and probably many years to come. And they got to lead by example. And I think for the most part, they do a very good job of that. But it's kind of a natural segue to go into my main topic about this Raw React. And that was the in-ring segment with Triple H. When Ric Flair came out, when Triple H was going to start talking about Sting and whatnot, and then Flair came out, which I thought was cool. Hunter brought up the history of Clash of the Champions and the great match that Sting and Ric Flair had, which everybody basically saw. It was an amazing match back in the day. And Triple H talked a lot about Sting's history through his career and throughout WCW and all that jazz and everything. And then he said he disappeared. And I was like, wow, he disappeared. And it kind of goes back to some of my older podcasts I've done here on the Human Podcast Machine where I talked about that. I think it might have been when my react to the Steve Austin podcast with Triple H, where it was basically, being ignored, the history of the business being ignored. And I think if you're leading by example and you're the WWE, you can't do that. I mean, those days are gone. I mean, it's a different time now with the internet and the progress of the wrestling business on the internet and social media and whatnot and the popularity of the business via social media and online. How do you ignore that? How do you ignore history? And again, I tweeted about this, and a lot of people are like, oh, God, what are you talking about? TNA don't mean anything, that's why, or they were alluding to because I work for TNA. Some people were, not a lot of people. And you know what? It has nothing to do that I work for TNA. Nothing. I could give a crap that I work for TNA and that they didn't mention TNA. Because quite frankly, if they were talking about, somebody else that worked in Ring of Honor, Seth Rollins or whatever, and let's say they were talking about his history and they didn't bring up Ring of Honor, say Ring of Honor, I would get mad. I'd be like, that's ridiculous. And then some people are tweeting at me, well, they don't want to promote your competition. Why would they promote your competition, your company? I don't have a company. I work for a company, okay? I have a podcast, and you're listening to it, okay? I work for TNA, and to answer you guys that say that, you're not promoting your competition because WWE, frankly, has no competition. There's no one else on Monday nights. They're the leader of the pack by far. TNA is not on Monday nights. Okay, so it's like it's not competition. WWE is a much massive, gigantically huge company compared to Ring of Honor or Lucha Underground or TNA. I mean, it's just so much bigger. And for those that are out there saying, well, they ignored the fact that Sting wrestled in All-Star Celebrities. I'm screwing up the name. My bad again, because I don't write things down. I just come out here and I talk. How long was his contract with that company? The point is, it's not about independent wrestling or smaller companies. I'm talking about you can't ignore when guys are under contract for years in certain territories. You can't ignore that. I don't think you're promoting the competition. So what's going to happen? If he says TNA, that means that TNA's business then is going to soar, and like the WWE ratings are going to drop, and the TNA ratings are going to go through the roof because Triple H mentioned that Sting then went to TNA and had a successful career. Is that going to happen, that TNA's business will go through the roof because Triple H were to say something like that? No. And the wording that was used was by design, saying he did this, he did that, he went to WCW, did all this, and then he disappeared. It was clever wording. It was a shot. There's no doubt about it. I worked for the WWE for just about 10 years. I'm telling you, it was a shot. And that's fine. I think it was a clever shot. I think it was cool. But the fan in me is like, you have an obligation as the leader of the pack. You talk about how your fans are the biggest and most important thing in the world to you as a WWE universe, which I do believe they believe. I just think you're doing those fans a disjustice and a disservice by not bringing up history. And that's it. It's my hill. I'll die on that hill. So it has nothing to do that I work for TNA. Nothing to do with it. TNA constantly mentions other companies. Ring of Honor does. Everybody, Lucha Underground, everybody does. Okay? It's an entitlement attitude. It's a holier-than-thou attitude. It's we are the WWE and everybody else is beneath us attitude. And quite frankly, if they didn't own WCW's, the library and whatnot, you wouldn't hear that in those letters mentioned neither, nor ECW. You know, I mean, I think that back in the day, years ago, people thought what in ECW, when we would mention other wrestlers in those, in the NWA or AWA, I mean, I'm sorry, WWF at the time or WCW, I think fans thought that was cool because nobody was really doing that. And then as far as the mainstream big companies, you know, Eric Bischoff, when he was at the helm of WCW with Nitro, he was the first guy, I believe, I'm assuming it was Eric, to have the balls enough to mention and call out the WWF and name them and all this stuff. And correct me if I'm wrong, WCW was the lead dog then, and WWF was way behind WCW. And WCW was not ignoring WWF history. So, you know, for anybody out there that has this mindset of, well, WWE is the lead pack, the leader of the pack, why would they want to mention anybody else and promote them and give and make them do better business? Give me a break. It's because it's your obligation as the lead company and for the betterment of the business that you lead by example and you don't ignore the history of the business. Let me tell you something. I have been privy over the years in my time in WWE to conversations about the Hall of Fame. Really awesome conversations that I've heard without naming names, people of big power in WWE say it's our obligation to put wrestlers in this Hall of Fame that maybe never wrestled for the WWF or WWE. It's our obligation. And it was so nice to hear that. And they're doing that. And I believe them. And it's the truth because they're doing it. Meaning WWE. They do the right thing with the Hall of Fame. They're not ignoring that. You know what? But you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. How are you going to talk about a guy like Sting and not mention his history full? Not mention his time in TNA. He spent a lot of years in TNA. And again, I know I'm opening myself up to some of you guys saying or tweeting me or coming at me saying, oh, come on, it's because you work for TNA and stuff. I'm telling you right now, my hand on a stack of Bibles, I don't give a shit. It's not about me working for TNA. I promise you that. Because I would be saying the same thing and recording this podcast right now if they were ignoring any other company's history, Ring of Honor, namely. And I've even said it when I give my react to the podcast with Steve Austin and Triple H, because all of these successful wrestlers in the WWE, you know, from a Seth Rollins Daniel Bryan and these guys, all that, and others, all this great success these guys have had in Ring of Honor. You know how and they just you can't and they just ignore it. I it drives me crazy. It makes no sense. And I never worked for Ring of Honor, and I don't work for Ring of Honor. Okay, so I have no vested interest in Ring of Honor, and quite frankly, I have no vested interest in TNA except that I work there. I'm under contract as the color commentator. That's it. Okay, I told you my role there, Every once in a while, they bounce stuff off me as a soundboard. Very rare. And that's it. And honestly, since I'm doing this podcast, TNA doesn't bounce anything off me. And that's fine, too. So, because I have my own rights and my freedoms to say what I want over 25 years in this business, I'm going to say what I want to you guys and give you the most realistic, honest podcast I can give. Okay? That's what I'm trying to do. And I'm giving my best effort in doing that. Okay? Now, back to the topic at hand. And that is that segment on Raw with Triple H. I went off on a tangent, but that's what I wanted to talk about because, I have strong feelings, obviously, about this. I do think the segment was very cool, though. I got to say, barring the fact that they ignored history, I never expected to see Hunter push down Ric Flair. I thought that was great. I thought Flair came off really good. I thought the whole thing was really cool. I did. I just think it was done right. I think they really built to whatever they're going to do with Sting and Triple H, they did it the right way. And Ric Flair, legendary nature boy, was a big catalyst in that tonight on that Raw show. I think that was a good job, all in all. And the other thing, just an overview of the show. So there was a lot of screw job finishes, but, TNA does the same thing at times. And I'm like a lot of you guys. I like finishes. Either pinfalls or submissions, okay? Not this mindset of, well, these people aren't paying for it. These aren't pay-per-views, so they're going to get what we give them. That's bullshit. You got to have a winner, you got to have a loser. That's how I look at it. But I digress. But I will say this. The main event, I thought, after the match, again, it was a double count-out, disqualification, whatever it was, with Big Show and Daniel Bryan. I thought it was some cool stuff. I don't remember ever seeing them trying to get some steam on a guy like they did with Reigns, where he was signing autographs during Daniel Bryan's match and throwing out T-shirts and stuff and totally ignoring the match and placating to the fans and really just showing no respect towards his match. I thought that was very cool. That was very different. I thought that was interesting. There's kind of a code of the business that, if two guys are in the ring wrestling and you're going to watch that match, if you're a wrestler and you're done wrestling or you're going to wrestle soon, you try not to let the fans see you. You try to watch that match. So you don't want the fans, I'm talking about in smaller buildings like high school gyms or college gyms or rec halls. You don't want fans to see you because you don't want to disrespect the match in the ring. You don't want to take the attention off the match in the ring. That's a respect code that's in our industry for many, many years. And the angle they did with Roman Reigns with the fans was very cool because he kind of broke that code. I thought it was very cool. I thought the announcers could have done a better job explaining that because they didn't. They just explained that he kind of was being disrespectful in some way, shape, or form. But I think that it would be good insight to fans to talk about, you don't want to distract fans when you're a bystander watching a match of two fellow wrestlers because it's disrespectful and it's frowned upon. And that's kind of what they did with Reigns, but in a good way. I thought it was very cool. I thought the angle was very cool and very smart the way they did it. And the way they went off the air is the most important thing, the way they sold going into the Fastlane show with Reigns and Daniel Bryan. I thought it was great. The pull apart, the fight, the whole thing, and Reigns' mouth bleeding. The physicality by the announce desk, I'm telling you, they did a great job. That whole thing was awesome. That looked real physical. It looked real good. I was a fan of that for sure. I think that the way they went off the air was very good. Still a little fugazi, the way the whole storyline is. Reigns won the Rumble. He should go straight forwards to Mania. We went through this and faced Lesnar for the title. And now they're doing this other thing with Daniel Bryan and all this stuff. So at Fastlane. So, it'll be interesting to see who goes over in that match. It's a little bit of a funky deal. Kind of can't tell who the babyface is. It kind of seems like Brock Lesnar might be the babyface in this whole thing, to tell you the truth. But, it's intriguing. Like I said, the way they went off the air I thought was cool with Reigns and Daniel Bryan. I really enjoyed that part of it. And that's the most important thing. You're selling going into a pay-per-view. You got to get people intrigued to watch it. And it's on the WWE Network, and I think it's free this month anyway. But still, they want good viewership, and they want to do the right thing, and they did. I think they ended it right. So all in all, I thought Raw was pretty good. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was okay. There wasn't a ton of energy in that building, but it's a gigantic building with 15,000 people. So sometimes, you're not going to have that true intimacy because it's such a massive building. And, they made a lot of money in that gate, so that's cool. Good for them and good for the boys. And it's good for the business in general. All right, look, so I'm Taz. You're not. That was my react. See ya.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.